Just from hearing what Daryl and Dave have said so far this morning, I'm getting a little bit of reassurance that the direction that I've been going in with the message this week seems to be spot on. It's been a difficult week, hasn't it? Typically on Monday morning, I try and take a particular verse or a particular theme, and that's going to develop into the message for Sunday, and I begin to study on it and just dwell on it and try and begin to mold a message and develop it further on Tuesday and kind of complete it by Wednesday, and then I have the rest of the week to add and take away and just kind of marinate on it. And this week was a difficult week for me because by Wednesday I opened up my Word document on my computer in the morning and I had four different things started, four different messages, and I wasn't happy with any of them. And none of them felt right, and I had this this feeling in the back of my mind that for a direction to go in. And I really didn't want to go in that direction. And Wednesday night at prayer meeting, I told Dan, I said, "Man, this is what I'm feeling, and I really don't want to do this." And he said, "Well, you just if that's the direction the Lord's leading you in, you better follow that." But it sounds like this morning this was the right direction to go in. And so I want to talk to you this morning about trials. It's been a trying week, hasn't it? I want to talk about storms. Now, I think part of the reason I had some reservations about this is because many of you have children that are older than me. And so you can look up here at me and you can say, "What does this kid know about trials, about difficulties, about enduring life storms?" And you know what? You're absolutely right. But the Word of God is very clear on a lot of those things. And so this morning, I'm not going to stand up here and share any of my wisdom with you because I really don't have any. but I am going to share some wisdom from the Word of God. And so this morning, as I'm going through some of this, I pray that you're not, that's not a stumbling block to you, that there's some little kid up here trying to share something new with you, but that as you look up here and you see me and you hear the words that I'm saying, that you would see Jesus, and the words that come out of my mouth would not be mine, but that they would be his, and that we would get understanding from that. So let's pray for that right now. Father, I thank you for difficulties and for trials in our lives. That's hard to do, Lord. But your word tells us, as we're going to see this morning, that we should rejoice in these situations, that we should persevere, because there's going to be an end result to these trials, to these storms, and it's going to be a good one. Father, I pray that this morning that this scripture would just penetrate straight to our hearts, that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be open, and that we would be encouraged. Lord, we love you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So we'll be in James chapter 1 to begin with, starting in verse 2. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Every one of these passages that I'm going to share with you this morning have a particular verse in them that people like to draw out and use kind of out of context, but not always. And this James chapter 1, verse 2 is one of those verses that at certain times in my life when I've been going through difficult periods, somebody might say, well, you know what? James 1, chapter 2 says that you need to consider that joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that verse on its own, it doesn't really hold much weight, does it? I mean, why would you just consider it? Why would you have joy in situations and difficulties and storms in your life? That doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense, does it? If somebody comes up to you and says that when you're going through a difficult time, you're probably going to respond with a little bit of resentment because they don't know what you're going through. They don't know your situation. But James doesn't leave us with just that one verse. He says, yes, consider it joy, brothers and sisters, when you face these trials, because there's an end result. You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So James tells us that there are values in trials. Perseverance is one of those values. Completeness of character is one of those values. And he says, because of that, because there is an end result, we should have joy when we go through these trials. Now, James also gives us a comparison between two different scenarios in James 1:4 and James 1:8. James 1:4, I just read, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1:8, he talks about the person who has doubt, the person who doesn't believe and is tossed about like waves in the sea. And of that person, he says, such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. So in contrast to that verse, James tells us what the instrument is that God uses to deliver us from being double-minded and unstable. And that instrument is trials. Difficulties. That brings us perseverance. That helps to complete our character. We seem to be a little bit smaller in our fellowship this morning, but you know, whether there's 10 people in here or 150 people in here, there is a tremendous amount of brokenness among us. You know, we as Christians, and especially we as Americans, have we do an incredible job of smiling and looking at people when they ask how we're doing, and we say, boy, I'm good, when in reality we're not good. Maybe you're guilty of that. I know my trained response when somebody asks how I am, I say, I'm just living the dream. And if you've ever heard my dad say that, he got that from me, okay? That's not a ten, that's, I'm serious. This isn't an Ed Miller thing. That's true. He stole that from me, so. Just living the dream. You know, and sometimes that's true in my life, and other times that couldn't be farther from the truth. But I, like many other people, that's just kind of that's how I respond. So if I say that to you, you better give me the look and be like, are you being, you being honest with me? There's a tremendous amount of brokenness with us. And as James talks about how when we go through trials, we our character is developed and our character is brought to completeness, there's also a bit of a testing involved with trials, because we can see as we go through storms in our lives, how we respond to those lets us know a little bit more about ourselves. And I think in some cases, how you respond to trials and difficulties will, it'll let you know what kind of gospel message you responded to. Now, you might say, well, there is only one gospel. I would agree with that. But it's presented in a number of different ways, and all you have to do is turn on TV on Sunday morning and watch a couple different televangelists to know that that they take the gospel and they present it in a number of different ways. And one of those gospels is that when you are in relationship with Christ, things are going to be good. Things are going to be real good. And you're going to get to go to heaven and you're in relationship with Jesus and it's good. Folks, anybody that's ever done any living knows that things are not always good. But for the person that responded to that gospel, and that is their view of Christianity, then when things and difficulties arise, then they're going to be shaken. And they're going to say, this is not what I signed up for. Why is this happening? Peter says something a little different. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But," here's this word again, "rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you. Different translations, I think that's the New American Standard translation. Different translations are going to take that first verse and it's going to be a little different. And I'll explain more about that in a second. But Peter says, don't be surprised when these things happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Don't be surprised when these things happen. Again, the gospel that some of you might have responded to might not have included that little bit of truth, that things are not always going to be peachy. Can you imagine, and some of you that were in the service, put yourself in this position for a second. You join up and you go off to war, and within the first couple minutes of being in the action, you run up to your commanding officer and you say, "These people are shooting at me, and they're using real bullets." What's that commanding officer going to, he's probably going to swear at you first, and then he's going to say, "What did you expect? You're at war. Of course they're shooting at you. Of course they're using real bullets." Peter says, "What do you expect? You're in a war." I mean, as he's writing this to the early church and to early Christians, and it's not a matter of if you guys are persecuted for your faith. It's not a matter of if you're going to go through trials. He says, when you go through these trials, rejoice. You're participating in the sufferings of Christ. Scripture says that no servant is greater than their master. If the world hated Jesus and we are his servants, then we shouldn't expect the world to be any better to us. Peter says, expect this. It's going to happen. I said your translation of that first verse might be a little different. My translation, he describes this as a fiery ordeal. Your translation might say something a little bit different, but there's a good chance that Peter might have said this the way that he did because of the persecution that the early Christians were undergoing. Nero, if that name means anything to any of you, was the man in power when Peter wrote this, and he was not a fan of Christians. And so the fact that Peter describes their trials as a fiery ordeal could have something to do with the fact that Nero took Christians and used them as human torches in his garden. Peter says, don't be surprised when this happens. Not if, but when. And when it happens, rejoice. You're participating in the sufferings of Christ. His glory is going to be revealed through that. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but just think about this for a second. Have any of you ever been in a situation where you were maybe insulted or mocked or even persecuted for being a Christian? I look back fondly on this memory. I didn't really realize what was happening at the time, but when I was 19, I kind of got things figured out. Not figured out, but the Lord really kind of got a hold of me and got me back on the path that I should have been on from the get-go. And I was at a concert down in Charlotte with a couple friends from Sparta, and towards the end of the day, we met up with another group from Sparta, and we're just sitting around talking, and somehow I got in conversation with this girl who was also from the high school, and you know how in a small town you know people, but you don't really know people. This is one of those people I knew, but I didn't really know, and so we're just having this very shallow conversation, and we come to a lull, and she says, so I hear you're some kind of a Jesus freak now. And that completely caught me off guard. I didn't know what to say. I just stood there and thought for a second. And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. And she grinned and nodded her head and then very cordially turned and walked away. And I just continued to stand there and think, what just happened? What just happened? I mean, was she mocking me? Was she making fun of me? Was she just being nice? But I just remember sitting there thinking, man, that's cool. You know, obviously something's happening. Maybe people are starting to look and they're seeing something a little different. And that's cool. And I can sit here and I can read this. And I was not persecuted. I might have been made fun of a little bit through this. But I just think, man, that's cool. Peter talks about the testing of your faith. Trials are another way to kind of test and see if you're really, you know, are you serious about this? If you look at Fox's Book of Martyrs and you read through some of the ways that these early Christians were martyred, then you just think, whoa, these people were serious. These people were for real. I mean, all that the governing authorities wanted was for these people to turn around and say, okay, you know what? Just kidding. I'm not serious about my faith. And they could have saved their own lives in doing that. But instead, they say, no, I am serious about this. And even though I might be forced to go through this fiery ordeal that Peter talks about, man, that's great. That's going to bring God glory. There's no way I'm going to turn around and recant my faith. There's no way that I'm going to give up on my Savior. We don't undergo that same persecution. But we have those same tests in our lives when the Lord leads us to share with someone or engage in conversation with someone. And when that happens, if you do it, things might not happen exactly like you want them to. I mean, somebody might say, okay, this person's crazy. And they might, you know, maybe it severs a relationship or something like that. But you can come out of that and you can say, man, you know what? The Lord placed that on my heart and I did that and man, that feels good. Coming through those tests, knowing that you're for real. Folks, sometimes trials and storms are there to give you an opportunity to see, wow, am I really for real? Am I really for real? Romans 8:28 is another one of those verses that we love to quote when people are going through difficult times. But it is also one of those verses that's dangerous by itself to not add verse 29 on there. See, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who love God. Boy, isn't that an encouraging verse to someone who's going through difficulty. Verse 29 adds on and says, all things work together for good for those who love God so that we might be conformed to his Son, Jesus Christ. See, that's the good that things are going to work towards, that we might be conformed to Jesus. That doesn't mean that we're going to go through a trial and that trial is going to last a while and then everything is going to go back to being great. Because sometimes that isn't the case. Sometimes trials take us right out of this life. You know, and you just mentioned Betty Moxley going through a trial. That trial took her right out of this life. She didn't see an end to that trial in this life, but she sees it now. Man, sometimes we're not going to see the end to these trials that we go through. But praise God, as we go through these trials, we're being conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's good. If you look at Acts chapter 7 at the stoning of Stephen, he's considered the first Christian martyr. Stephen is out preaching, and I said back on Easter Sunday, or maybe it was Palm Sunday, you know, that people in their nature just have this, we don't like to see goodness, and we don't like to see, you know, or hear things that make us feel bad about ourselves. And so Stephen, boy, he's shucking the corn. And these people don't like what they're hearing. And so they begin to pick up stones to throw at him, to kill him. And in his moment of deepest despair, right before he's about to die, right before these people are about to start chucking rocks at him, he looks up and he focuses on the heavens. And he says, I see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Behold, I see the heavens, they're opened up, and the Son of Man at the right hand of God. And Stephen's moment of deepest despair, right before he's about to die, he says, I see Jesus. Can't imagine the joy that brought him in a moment of trial. A trial that took him from this life. He didn't see the end of that. Stephen was pressed, but he was not crushed. He was persecuted, but he was not abandoned, because the Holy Spirit came upon him and he saw Jesus. Paul says, rejoice when you're going through trials, because you're going to be conformed to Christ. James says, consider it pure joy when you're going through these trials. And Peter says, rejoice when you undergo suffering, because God's glory is going to be revealed through that. Probably the coolest thing that I saw as I was studying this week, or the coolest thing that I read, was a quote from Charles Spurgeon. And he said, there is a fellowship with Christ in a storm that is often lost in a calm. You ever experienced that? When you're going through trial, when you're going through difficulties, and you feel like you've gotten so low that you can't really go any lower, and you have nowhere else to turn, that's usually when we turn to Christ and say, man, I need help. There's nowhere else to go. Spurgeon says, there's a fellowship with Christ in a storm that is often lost in a calm. Why do we need a comforter if we don't need comfort? I also saw something this week that Francis Chan said. Francis Chan's a pastor in California, and he was talking about a meeting that he had with a gentleman who, he was Korean, and I don't know, if a lot of you watch the news a lot, then you might have seen this. Back in 2007, these 23 or 27 Korean missionaries were taken hostage by the Taliban. You may or may not remember that happening, but a number of them died and the rest were rescued, and one of the ones that was rescued, Francis was having dinner with this guy and talking about this whole ordeal and just trying to get some perspective on it. And the guy said, you know, they had us all together and we were down in this pit and they had surrounded the pit, and that's where they left us. And they would occasionally engage in conversation with us. And when they were doing that, there were three pastors in the group. And one of the pastors said, he said, listen, he's talking to the Taliban, the guys that have him hostage, and he said, if you guys are going to kill anybody, you're going to kill me first because I'm the pastor. And then another one said, no, I'm also a pastor and I'm your elder. If they're going to take anybody, they're going to take me first. And then a third guy, the third pastor, said, no, you've never been ordained as a pastor, and I'm the other guy's elder. If they're going to take anybody first, they're going to take me. And sure enough, that third guy is the first one that they executed. And they executed a couple more through this ordeal. And then they were rescued, and it's about a year later that Francis is talking to this guy and this other pastor. And he said, Francis, over the last year, I can't tell you how many times these folks that were with me in the middle of this trial have come back and they said, man, don't you wish we were still there? They said, I've tried praying, I've tried fasting, and nothing that I do can bring back that closeness that I had when we were there. Don't you wish we were still there? I thought, oh, that is powerful. But that's exactly what Charles Spurgeon's saying. There's a fellowship with Christ in a storm that you can't experience in a calm. Folks, there is benefit to trials. There is benefit to storms and difficulties in our lives. Let me close with this. The thing that I get when I read 1 Peter 4:12 is this idea that once you start working for the Lord, you have a very real enemy. And David mentioned this in his prayer. Scripture describes Satan as a lion who is on the prowl looking to devour. And he's probably described as a lion because we're often described as sheep. Put two and two together, it's not a pretty sight. But we have a shepherd. There's a tremendous amount of excitement here at Grace Community Church. And we have a lot of big things on the horizon. I really think and I feel that the Lord is just, folks, he's getting ready to do an amazing work here. But along with that comes the truth that there's going to be a lot more attacking. I can illustrate this better by talking about basketball. Hate basketball. Not a basketball player. But think about this. If I'm playing basketball and I'm out on the court and you're assigned to guard me, but as we're playing, I'm standing at half court, eating a hot dog, eating some popcorn, waving to the crowd, you're not going to guard me. You're going to be over here guarding somebody that's making a difference. You're going to be guarding somebody that's scoring points, that's taking it the hole. Now, if I change my mind and all of a sudden I become a threat and all of a sudden I start scoring, then you're going to change your mentality a little bit and you're going to start coming after me. You're going to start guarding me. You're going to start attacking me. Same thing. We have a very real enemy. And as soon as we begin to threaten, he's going to come after us. But praise God, there is benefit to these trials. There's benefits to storms so that we can be conformed to Christ, so that we can check and see if we're really serious about what we're doing, so that we can develop perseverance, so that we can grow in fellowship with Christ. All of these things are byproducts of trials, of storms, of difficulties. And in that we can rejoice. Bob and Janice are going to come up here and we are going to sing a hymn of invitation. And this hymn of invitation is, "It Is Well With My Soul." And there's an interesting story behind this hymn. And Bob's going to read that for you. And if there's something on your heart this morning you would like prayer, I'll be down here. I would be glad to pray with you. Or the altar will be open. If you just want to come up and you want to go to the Lord on your own, you're certainly welcome to do that. So before they start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these difficulties in our lives that hopefully we see in a little bit of a different light now. Lord, we know that that there are benefits to trials. There are benefits to storms in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus on that, that we would put our burdens aside, that we would put our baggage aside, and we would focus on what you're doing in our life through these trials, through these difficulties, and that in the end, you would receive glory. Father, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.